Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks so much for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. What a show we have. Kawhi's buzzer beater to send the Raptors to the Eastern Conference Finals. Another Game 7, heroics by C.J. McCollum yesterday, and the Portland Trailblazers are part of the Final Four for the first time since 2000. The Cleveland Cavaliers have a new head coach. They've got Michigan's John Beilein. They have signed him to a five-year deal this morning, which is essentially breaking news, happened a little bit over an hour ago. The Lakers have a new head coach in Frank Vogel. We got a lot of action NBA-wise to discuss this morning here on the program. Also, we are asking, is Kawhi's buzzer beater yesterday the greatest shot in NBA playoff history? I say no. It can't top two NBA Finals shots. Jordan shot 98 over Byron Russell. Can't beat that to seal the sixth championship for the Bulls. And I don't think it can beat Ray Allen's shot of the NBA Finals a couple of years ago in overtime, or to send that game to overtime and help extend the game and the series, more life for the Heat, which they then won in the seventh game against the Spurs. But all said and done, Kawhi shot certainly one of the best shots, because never had this happen. A Game 7 walk-off winner. Had never happened. Nobody ever made a shot at the end of a Game 7 with no time left to win the series. Pretty special moment. And it should have been a special weekend, at the very least a special game number 6 for the Houston Rockets. Should have. No Kevin Durant. A Game 6 at home, at the very least, the Rockets were supposed to win that game but then go to a Game number 7 at Oracle, and that should have been yesterday. And instead, they never got out of Game number 6. They never got to go back to Oracle. And for the Rockets, no excuses. No excuses. The Golden State Warriors were without their best player. As great as Steph was the second half, Kevin Durant has been their best player. And Steph throws an offer up, an egg, in the first half. He was terrible in the first half. And then the barrage that he put on that team in the second half was like a fighter who had been winning the early rounds against an opponent that he had lost to a number of times. And sort of feeling confidence, sort of feeling okay, had a lead, and then got hit by one shot square in the jaw and was stunned the rest of the fight. And the Rockets played like it. And I'm sorry, the Rockets have no excuses not to at least have gotten to a Game number 7. This is the fourth time the Rockets have been eliminated by the Warriors. The fourth time in 5 years.
The Rockets have been eliminated by the Warriors. And for this time, for it to be on your home floor where you're healthy, all of your guys are healthy, they're missing Durant, it's on your home floor, and you've already taken two at home against them in the series, no excuses. Was Steph wonderful? Yes, of course he was wonderful. But the Rockets absolutely had to have that game for obvious reasons to just extend their series. But I think from a psyche standpoint, long term, it was about more than just that series. I think it's about more than just going home right now. For the Rockets, if not now, when? If you can't beat the Warriors when they're clearly vulnerable in your own building, when you're completely healthy and they're without their best player, when are you ever going to do it?
Draymond back to Curry. Three look right side up and good! It's good! Curry from downtown. The Warriors lead by five. They've scored seven straight. It's 102-97.
Well, this one's going to leave a mark. This is not something you just get over with. You know, I'm definitely not going to get over it in this press conference or tomorrow or the next day, but this one hurts.
Mike D'Antoni, after the loss, that was Rockets Radio on the call. I mentioned this on Friday. I got caught in a little bit of a YouTube wormhole last week, and I ended up watching the season recap of the NFL for NFL Films for 1979. It's a great watch if you're a hardcore football fan like me. NFL 79 is what it's called. Harry Callis narrates. It's the story of that season right after the season ends. And the 79 AFC Championship game is the Steelers and the Oilers. This is the Love You Blue, Earl Campbell, Dan Pastorini Oilers. And yet again, for the second year in a row, the Oilers go to Three River Stadium and lose in the AFC Championship game. And Bum Phillips, beloved Bum Phillips, head coach of the Oilers, says after the game there's a pall over the locker room. He's downtrodden. It's completely silent in the press conference. And he says, there's only one team that can beat the Steelers in this league, and it's the Houston Oilers, and we didn't do it. And I just feel like this is what the Houston Rockets must be emoting, that they feel like they are the one team that can beat this Warriors squad. They are the team. They were the team last year that were supposed to do it. They were hunting them again this year. Their general manager, Daryl Morey, has openly admitted they are, quote, obsessed with beating the Warriors. And he has believed, which is why he acquired Chris Paul, which is why he then brought in Carmelo Anthony in the offseason, which is why he's tried to surround James Harden with the types of players he has, that every move has been to beat the Warriors, that they have been consumed by it. And that they feel like they're the one team that can do it. Now, I don't necessarily agree. I think this year, a team like the Milwaukee Bucks could do it. And I have poo-pooed the opposition all season long about the Warriors. I have said as long as Golden State is healthy and focused, they will once again run away with a championship. I'm not so certain anymore, even if and when they get Kevin Durant back, that they are, over a seven-game series, better than that Milwaukee Bucks team. I'm not convinced of it. And if Durant is hobbled, if he is missing more time than just maybe two games here to start off the Western Conference Final, to see how great Kawhi is and how great Giannis is, and even this Blazers team that'll get at least a couple of games without Kevin Durant, I'm not so certain they're a runaway wagon anymore, even if they get Durant back. But for the Rockets, they had to feel like this was it. And they still lost. And I think this is one of those losses that haunt you forever. Remember back in the 90s, the two best teams year in, year out in the American and National League, in the American League was the Yankees, and the National League was the Braves. They met twice in the World Series. And the Braves had the 96 World Series dead to rights. They had the title. It was in their grasp. They were about to take an enormous commanding lead in the series, and that it all fell apart of them. The Jim Leyritz hit, It spiraled out of control. The Yankees came all the way back to win and took the series in six games. And I really believe that loss for the Braves haunted that franchise. They had won in 95, so it wasn't like they didn't have a championship. But after their losses in 91, in 92, even 93 in the NLCS, the way that they lost that championship, that World Series in 96, I think scarred them for the rest of their time together, and then ended up losing again in 99 to the Yankees. And the Yankees, the Braves were every bit as good as the Yankees. I just think there was a scar there. There was a haunting. You couldn't do it. They just, it held them back. And the Oilers are forever destined, unfortunately, to remember that they were really good, but not as good as the Steelers. And the Braves have to remember they were really good, but not as good as those two Yankees teams would have mattered most. And ultimately, I think this is what the Rockets will be defined by. A really good regular season team with an unbelievable player in James Harden that when it mattered, simply couldn't slay the dragon, no matter what. No matter what ended up happening. Even at home without Kevin Durant playing, they still couldn't do it. It will haunt them forever. Four times in 5 years, the Golden State Warriors have eliminated the Houston Rockets from the playoffs. And these last 2 years are just gut-wrenching for the Rockets. Because if not now, when? And James Harden had a big game. And Chris Paul had a big game. So even in a game six, without Kevin Durant and Steph Curry being scoreless at halftime, and James Harden and Chris Paul having good games, you still lost. If not now, when? (855) 212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Talking about Kawhi's shot through history. Adam Ray tweets, DA, how can you forget John Stockton's legendary three-pointer that finally put the Jazz to the NBA Finals? Hashtag, now wait a minute.
Now wait a minute.
Good one, Adam Ray. 97 Western Conference Finals. John Stockton, Game 6 in Houston. 100-100 game, and at the buzzer, Stockton for the three from straight away. And the Jazz head of their first NBA Finals ever, 97. It's a good one. Yep, one of the great shots. When we come back here on the show, more on John Beilein. Beilein decides to take the Cavs job, leaving Michigan, where he went to two Final Fours and won four Big Ten regular season titles, to take over one of the worst teams of the NBA. Why? And did the Lakers get the right coach in Frank Vogel? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Hey, good morning, DA. I've been listening to you since you were working from 2 to 6. And
the old overnight show.
Yeah, man, I've been listening to you for years. And I always agree with you, but today you have annoyed me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, okay.
Now, wait a minute.
Ah, yes. I can be quite annoying when I need to be. 21 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes. 21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, full episodes of the show are always available for your listening pleasure. If you want to hear something, you may have missed something, want to hear it again, want to be annoyed by me even more times, yet again, it's all good. Whatever you want. Just simply go to iTunes. Radio.com or other places podcasts are downloaded, and you can just search DA and CBS. You'll find the show there. Also, full episodes are available on demand. If you go to the website, CBSSportsRadio.com, just click on the DA Show tab. It's golf's next major, the world's best. The prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. And Tiger shoots for back-to-back majors
and his 16th overall. It's the PGA Championship this weekend on CBS.
I think it's a really bad sign for college basketball that John Beilein wanted out. Now, maybe a lot of this has to do with the money.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Perhaps this is about the cash. And look, if John Beilein got 5 guaranteed years at $7 million per, I'm certainly not going to be the guy that says walk away from $35 million guaranteed, okay? I get it. I understand it. But John Beilein has been consistently one of the best coaches in all of college basketball. Everywhere he has been, he has proven himself as a winner and has run a program free of scandal, which isn't exactly commonplace these days. He has built his career from the bottom up. He began at Erie Junior College as a coach in the late 70s. Guy has been doing this for 40 years. Erie Junior College, Nazareth Division III, Lemoyne Division II, Canisius, Richmond, West Virginia, and now Michigan. He has won 4 regular season Big Ten titles. He has gone to multiple Final Fours. He has been in the Final Four in the national championship game twice. He is a model coach in college basketball. And he left to go coach one of the worst teams of the NBA without a superstar on the roster. If they win the Zion sweepstakes, I'll apologize. But you can't tell me one of the best coaches in basketball, college basketball, is running to go coach Colin Sexton and company. Unless something's really wrong. Unless he's just about the money, which I don't think that he is. Something's really wrong with college hoops. And John Beilein's been frustrated with the scope of college basketball. My read is, I think John Beilein runs one of the rare clean programs and is PO'd that in the middle of all this FBI stuff, even the dirty programs aren't really getting nailed. I mean, did you see the NCAA just opened up its investigation on Arizona? Just now. They have the associate head coach on tape talking about the head coach paying 10 grand a month for DeAndre Ayton. And what's going to happen? The NCAA is like, oh, you know what? Well, maybe we'll look into it. You think? And I think John Beilein's going, look, this is ridiculous. All of these programs are cheating. The middlemen are forking over wads of cash. The sneaker companies have all of this type of influence. This thing is broken. It's ridiculous and broken. And now we have a G League starting up. Well, the G League's here, but a program where you can give guys that didn't graduate college $125,000 a year if they want to leave early and go right from high school instead of going to college. They can get $125,000 a year, which doesn't sound like a lot of money in NBA circles, but if you can get paid $125,000 a year to play in the G League, maybe you would opt for that instead of having to play school, play student for a semester. You know? And John Beilein's like, I'm out. This is stupid. And I don't blame him because that guy's got more integrity than almost anybody else in college basketball. And he's taken over one of the worst teams in basketball, in the NBA. Now, yes, he's got a relationship with the front office. Perhaps he's got a relationship with the owner as well, who's from the state of Michigan. Fine. But part of this has to be, a referendum on how screwed up college basketball is. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I got to think there's a lot of people around college basketball, coaches specifically, that are like, what are we even doing? Are we supposed to cheat now? Because the FBI investigation has basically proven here's the cost of these guys doing business. Here's how much it costs to sign big players. And what's really happening? What's the revolution? Where's the change? I mean, in the middle of all this, Coach K has acted like, oh, there's just one or two bad coaches. Yeah, right. Not even bothering to show up to any of these trials. The NCAA is acting as though the trials don't even happen. And I got to think the coaches doing it the right way are going, I mean, come on. Will Wade's reinstated at LSU. Arizona doesn't want to fire Sean Miller. The only reason Patino got fired was because he had previous scandals. Only this one would have been fine. And the guys doing it the right way are going, this is stupid. It's ridiculous. I'm out of here. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Jared's next up in Pennsylvania. Listen to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Jared.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you, sir. What's going on?
So, you know, yeah, you're right. I'm in Pennsylvania, about 2 hours north of Philadelphia. I'm a Philadelphia sports fan, except for football, where I'm a Redskins fan. But Sixers last night just drove me crazy. I know you're talking about, you know, Michigan and the Cavs right now. But I was just wondering what your take was on, you know, Brett Brown's future with the Sixers. I think the last couple of possessions last night were probably the worst coaching positions I've ever seen in my entire life when it comes to basketball. They were just horrendous. You know, one was coming off a timeout that had a clock violation, and then the last play was terrible. Like, everyone knows Kawhi's basketball.
You're breaking up there, Jared, so let me let you go. My thoughts on Brett Brown, he's fine, but he's not going to make it past this offseason. I think the Sixers are going to use him as a scapegoat, and he's going to get fired. Do I think Brett Brown's the reason they lost that series? No. But I think he's going to end up getting fired because of it. Look, the front office went all in for the Sixers to at least get one round further to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. They went all in this year. The fact that they have offloaded, unloaded, and traded all the assets from the process for Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, knowing also that J.J. Redick's going to be a free agent as well, it was do or die time. And I think Brett Brown knew it, which is why when he was asked after the game yesterday, what do you think about your future with the organization, he says that's a question for my boss. He knows. More than likely, he's cooked. I don't know if that's necessarily fair. I don't find him to be one of the best coaches in the NBA. I don't think he's the reason they lost the series. I think the reason that they lost the series was twofold. Number one, Kawhi Leonard was the best player on the floor essentially every night. And over the course of seven games, over the course of NBA playoffs, this almost always happens. The best player almost always wins over the course of an entire series. There has to be a really steep discrepancy in the depth of the two teams if the best player on the floor over seven games doesn't win that series. So Kawhi was incredible, absolutely incredible, and of course that shot goes in yesterday. But then also, I think the other part was that outside of Jimmy Butler, there was no consistent playmaker for Philadelphia. You want to blame Brett Brown for that? Okay. And that's fair in some way, shape, or form. But I think Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons have to own a lot of this blame. Those two guys were so wildly inconsistent in the series. And when they were great, they were really great. But we didn't get greatness enough. And it came back to bite them because in a series where you don't have home court advantage, allowing it to go to a game seven on the road with the best player on the floor for either teams being on the opposite side is a recipe for disaster. But I don't think the Brett Brown's going to survive this. They were built to get at least to the Eastern Conference Finals this year and fell short again. I don't think they'll re-sign Tobias, but I think that they should and they will do everything they can to bring back Jimmy Butler. I would imagine he gets the max offer because Butler was the one constant in this entire series. It's a dangerous game to play. It's a game of chicken because you know that Jimmy Butler can go crazy and be combative and fight with coaches. But what are you going to do? I mean, what's the other option? To not have Butler and to just assume that Embiid and Simmons will automatically become more consistent? I'm not ready to do that. And you've got the bird rights on Butler. When we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day. It is sound check time, including a weepy Joel Embiid on his elimination. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
Do you hate me?
No.
It's almost like I can't help myself but purposely tick people off. I'm a sick person. There's a lot of people who hate me. Look, Minnesota, beautiful town, great bars, great breweries, sticky people.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
A lot of people do hate Mraz, but that's what you get with him. It's a real love-hate relationship, that roly-poly chunk man.
Chubby person.
40 minutes past the hour. We appreciate you being with us on a fine Monday. The DA show is available on your phone. You can watch us at watchda.com on any device, anywhere. Watchda.com. So the Los Angeles Lakers now have Frank Vogel as their head coach. But they've already cut out at the knees Frank Vogel's authority because they've also hired Jason Kidd as his assistant coach. Bad idea. The Lakers are a mess. Oh, my goodness, the Lakers are such a mess. The Lakers are a mess because they are a dysfunctional family running a family business. And that's a bad way to run a professional sports operation. It's like the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a dysfunctional family running a family business. You've got Pops, who's going senile, who always thought that he was way smarter at football than he really was, thinking that he's a football guy. No, he's a money guy. He's an energy guy. He's a wealth guy. He's a business guy. He's not a football guy. But Jerry didn't understand that, never did. And he thought, because of his early success with Jimmy Johnson, see, I know football. No, you don't.
I am a smart Cowboy fan. I know about football.
No, you don't. Jimmy knew football. Jerry did not. But who's going to tell Jerry he doesn't know football? Because, well, the family has to bow at his feet because it's a family business. So luckily for Cowboys fans, Stephen Jones has wrested control away from the old man. But, again, is Stephen Jones a great personnel guy? I mean, he wouldn't be anybody else's GM, I'll put it that way. It's not like the New England Patriots are like, you know what, we need a personnel guy under Bill Belichick here as Belichick gets older. Who can we go get? Oh, that's Stephen Jones guy. He's a real catch. No, Stephen Jones has that job because of his last name, because he's daddy's son. And the Dallas Cowboys run a business like a family business with problematic family dynamics.
That's not Jerry Jones.
And the same thing with the Lakers. Now, hell, the Lakers make the Cowboys look like a model organization. I mean, at least the Cowboys here are in the playoffs. The Cowboys have drafted relatively well over the last 5 years. The Cowboys seem to have an answer at quarterback. I mean, the Lakers are a mess. The only thing the Lakers have is LeBron. That's it. They have their history. They have LeBron. They have their city. They have LeBron. But what Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka and Kurt Rambis and Rambis's wife and whoever is pulling the strings over there, it's a disaster. Because you're going to bring in Frank Vogel. Okay, number one, the guy's never won a championship, never coached in the NBA Finals. Okay, that's a problem. Okay, but even beyond that, you're going to bring in a guy with his replacement sitting on the bench and knowing there's going to be some tough times. The inevitable is Jason Kidd will end up coaching the Lakers. It's inevitable. It is inevitable. You don't get the full 5 years, and you're walking into a situation where already your authority is going to be questioned, and this whole thing around here is dysfunctional, but hey, you get to coach the Lakers. That's cool, right? This is so silly and so ridiculous and so inevitably going to fail. We just know. What the Lakers should have done and should be doing is clearing Kurt Rambis and his wife out of the decision-making process, okay? That should not be part of the equation. Also, if Rob Pelinka is your GM, then let him hire people and get out of the way. But he's not. Pelinka's kind of doing the Bruce Allen thing in Washington where you cozy up to the owner and you make the owner feel important. And it's kind of like all hands in there, and you're just doing it as a survival mechanism because it's a really good job and you get paid well. And you get good seats out of it, which is how Bruce Allen survived so long in Washington. Let me just keep telling the owner everything's fine. Let me be his best friend, and let me let him make some of the decisions. I won't say no, and I'll get a really good paycheck out of it and good seats all these games. That's Rob Pelinka. They should have just let Ty Lue have the job, given him the 5 years, and let him pick the staff. Okay? That would have been the easiest solution, the cleanest solution, and tell Kurt Rambis and his wife to take a hike. Whoever they want, whatever they want. No, you're not the GM. If Kurt Rambis wants to be the GM and you want to hire him, fine, then fire Pelinka. But this is so stupid to have all these different voices in there, and it's just like the Knicks. The Lakers are the Knicks with better weather. Okay? Just like in the Knicks organization, nobody ever knows who's the hatchet man. They all leak information within the front office. They all scurry to the owner. They all try to make sure that they're in good graces with James Dolan, and nothing ever gets fixed. Because the Knicks don't hire people that would ever challenge the owner. They hire yes men. James Dolan doesn't want to be challenged. Okay? So there's always somebody looking out for their own good, their own kind. They're only looking out for themselves. They're never changing the culture there. And the Lakers are now in the same swamp. They got the destination. They just don't have the infrastructure. And you can't tell me LeBron likes this. Okay, so now LeBron went all the way to LA to be a Laker. He thought he had Magic Johnson, and who knows what he thought about Luke Walton. And now he's got, well, Jeannie Buss and Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd on the bench. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's loving this. Now, look, LeBron made his deal with the devil. He had to know that the Lakers were a mess when he went there. But this is just silly. They are just so embarrassing. That'll never work. Best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Joel Embiid had a front row seat to Kawhi Leonard's shot going in because Embiid was guarding Leonard and actually got a hand in his face and had pretty solid defense as a 7-footer. How the hell did Kawhi Leonard shoot over that and make that shot?
Losing the game that way, last shot after a hard-fought game, I feel like we had a chance. You know, a lot of things go through your mind and it sucks. I don't know. I can't explain it. It just sucks.
Look, I don't blame Joel Embiid for his defense on that last shot. I don't blame any of the Sixers for that last shot. Kawhi Leonard made one of the craziest shots in NBA history over a 7-footer, falling away at the baseline and had it ricochet 4 times and go in. The physics, the law of physics doesn't seem to support the fact that that shot went in. I don't blame Embiid there. Where I blame Embiid is, had Embiid not been such a drip earlier in the series with the flu or whatever it was that was bugging him, maybe the Sixers aren't in that situation. Maybe the Sixers are able to clinch at home in game number 6. Because Embiid, you just didn't know which Embiid you were going to get. And you didn't know which Simmons you were going to get throughout the entire series. And that's forever going to be, maybe not forever, but until we see further proof, that's going to be the issue with trusting the Philadelphia 76ers to take the next step, is that it can only happen when Embiid and Simmons are the best players on the floor. And sometimes they are, and oftentimes they're not. Toronto's head coach Nick Nurse is headed to the Eastern Conference Final because of Kawhi's buzzer beater.
Looks like it's going in. Looks like it was going in the whole time to me. I thought it was. But I thought it was, obviously, it's a nice lucky bounce, right? But I thought we were very unlucky for a lot of that game. So it came back to us a little bit, balanced out.
I mean, the role that Kawhi gets is miraculous. It is miraculous how that ball goes in. It hits, first of all, it has to make it over Joel Embiid's outstretched finger, and he's 7 feet tall. And that's before his arm is up in the air. So Kawhi's got to shoot it over a 7-footer's outstretched arms. And Embiid's a pretty big boy. He is not maneuverable. He's thick. So seeing around him's difficult. So Kawhi's got to hoist it basically straight up in the air. And it comes in and hits the front of the rim. So therefore, it's going to fall short, right? It's hitting the front of the rim. Not the back of the rim. It's hitting the front of the rim. It somehow bounces straight up upon hitting the front of the rim, which not really supposed to happen. It comes down, hits the front of the rim, bounces straight up. And then as it's coming straight down, half of the basketball is outside of the cylinder. Again, it's supposed to then fall off, away, out of the hoop. It somehow comes straight down, more of the ball being outside of the cylinder than in, and bounces back the other side of the rim, only to then bounce in. That bounce is not supposed to happen. And by the way, Nick Nurse is amazing to watch on the sideline. I mean, he strikes me as like, he's like Bobcat Goldthwait in the Police Academy movies. Like if he had those glasses on, looking kind of cross-eyed, crazy, always flailing his arms, on the ground, up in the air, yelling, screaming. I mean, I just am like, that guy's going to be 4 games away from the NBA Finals? Can we just get a Nick Nurse cam? Dude is out of control. Bobcat Nick Nurse. And finally, Damian Lillard gets a little help from his friend, CJ McCollum. 37 points in the Game 7 victory in Denver.
I think when we come out on top in a game like this, in a tough series like this, you see it in everybody's celebration. You know, everybody's excited because we all play a part in it. You know, you don't just create this type of thing with just the players. It takes everybody, you know, to be all in. And that's what it was tonight.
Love that performance from CJ. Love that performance from the Blazers. That's a young team that's been knocking on the door, trying to get their respect. They still hadn't had it coming into this postseason anyway. I think they're finally getting it. And now you've got people predicting them to beat the Warriors. I'm not going that far. Look, I'd love to see it. I would love, love Lillard v. Giannis or Lillard v. Kawhi. I would love to see the Blazers in the NBA Finals. I would love to see the Warriors have to eat it, stick it to their tailpipes, go home, because we're all sick and tired of the Warriors. Every single one of us, sick and tired of the Warriors. I would love to see the Blazers do this. I think they're going to hang. I think they can push it to a sixth game. I don't think they can win a game number 7 at Oracle. I don't think they can win this series unless Durant's out for the entire series. But I think they can hang. But I'm not even there yet. I just want to make sure that we understand what a cool step forward this is for a young franchise, a young team that whose owner passed away in October and whose basketball town has always been wonderfully passionate and loyal, but has not been given back to them by that team for basically 20 years. I mean, they haven't been to the Western Conference Finals since 2000, and they had the Jailblazers and a lot of bad draft picks and a lot of heartbreak. I mean, this is This is Greg Oden, Sam Bowie's Portland Trail Blazers. This is a town that deserves a basketball winner, and they finally got one in a likable team. Really, really likable. Doing More brought to you by The Home Depot. Next generation home improvement. Everything that you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team. Kawhi. 41 points. He needed 39 shots to do it. But in the series overall, Kawhi averaged 35 points per game. And thanks to Kawhi, the Raptors are now 4 wins shy of their first NBA Finals. Kawhi Leonard doing more. When we come back here on the show, speaking of Kawhi, he is now wrapped up in Toronto sports history with the greatest shot, the greatest moment in their franchise's history. And so does this make it harder for him to potentially leave this summer? That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.